What is up, everybody? Welcome to Climb the Ladder for episode 168, presented by Wash Up Network. I'm your co-host, Hunter, and today I'm coming to you solo from the Tacoma, Washington studio. Duncan is away this week for a business trip, but there's a lot happening, not only in Seattle with the M's, but around the sports landscape as a whole. So tune in today, and thanks for sticking with me for episode 168. We are always brought to you by our sponsor, the Great Pacific Northwest. Head on over to thegreatpnw.com and use code CLIMB20 for 20% off your order. As always, let's climb the ladder. Well, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in today for episode 168. We wouldn't miss a week of bringing you guys the updates, the content, and just for you guys to hear our thoughts, or just for me to speak some thoughts into the microphone when I press record. But nonetheless, thank you for being here today, for watching on YouTube or listening. Today, basically the format, I'm just going to do some headline grabs and some article reviews just from Twitter, from MLB.com, from the emails that I get, from the articles that I subscribe to, just weekly blogs, whatever it is. But just bringing you some reactions and just some thoughts, and then we'll end it with some football because 'tis the season. Am I right? So we got to start with the Mariners, because there's a lot going on after we came to you guys a couple weeks ago after the 21 win August, which set Mariners history. It was, I mean, one of the most recent history records around the league in for recent years as a whole, and just on fire, established themselves at the top of the AL West. And then September comes around and got to keep the foot on the gas. I think that's really the magic equation here. And it hasn't exactly been that way. So just a brief update as of today is actually an off day for the Mariners. So I know that none of these stats will change while I'm recording this. And hopefully by the time you guys listen to it, it's changed only in the right direction where we want it to go. So as of their game on September 13th, 2023, but of course with the off day today on the 14th, the Mariners are 81-65. I mean, 16 games above 500, just crazy to look at. The All-Star break, that'll always be wild. I don't know. That'll always be wild that we were sitting right at 500 just barely 2 months ago. So far in September, we've played a game every day. And 13 games into the month, this crucial month of September, I know we refer back to the episode with myself and Clayton a lot, but we did talk about how crucial August was and then how September was going to be a battle. And it really has, because so far with 13 games in September, we've gone 5-8. And some of those were a couple tough road series. We had the Rays in there. We had the Reds in there. But came home. We just got the series against the Angels without Trout and Ohtani. I know that's like that's what everybody keeps saying, but hey, win's a win, and we got it. And so this is where we're at. And as of today, we are in the AL wild card. We are tied. Well, we're technically a half game behind Texas right now. So what the AL wild card and just overall division, because we're in that conversation too, what that is looking like is Baltimore's locked in for the East. They have the top spot right now, so they'd be that number one seed. No matter what happens at this point, I would put money on it that the AL West team will represent that number two seed, because right now Houston holds that at 83-64, and then the next closest AL division leader is in the Central with the Twins at 76-70. So meanwhile, we jump down to the AL wildcard team. Remember, there's three starting last year, which some people will say that's how the Mariners made it, and that is how, but this is how it is going forward. So right now, Tampa Bay holds that top wildcard spot because it's just a ridiculous East division. So they, I mean, they could be bouncing back and forth with Baltimore here towards the end, but nonetheless, they've locked up that top wild card spot if nothing else changes with Baltimore. And then the 2 and 3 spots right now, 2 is held by Texas at 81-64, and the Mariners are a half game behind, like I said, at 81-65. So it's right in there. Also, you know, less than 2 games back from Houston, and everybody has some pretty major, pretty difficult series coming up here. Houston is actually going to go play Kansas City, which they should be able to take care of. And then right now, Texas is playing Toronto, which they are on our heels, actually, one game back of a wild card spot. So, I mean, we're right in between those that battle right there, where Toronto's 1.5 games out, we're a half game out, and we only barely hold our lead above Toronto in the wild card standings by one game. So I think we'd like Toronto to beat Texas, but we just don't want them to put us in jeopardy. As far as the rest of the American League is looking, Boston is the next closest to Toronto, who's knocking on the door, who would be first out as of right now. But Boston has 74 wins, so it is looking like we have our final contenders with only 17 games left of this season, which is just crazy. So there's the update. There's the standings for the wild card, the playoff picture as a whole. And now I just wanted to, right before we get out of the standings into some headlines. So as of Thursday, September 14th, if the Blue Jays lose tonight, the Mariners only have to finish 8-8. But then the Blue Jays do have a ways to go. They'll have to finish 10-5 after tonight just to beat the Mariners out. So recap, the M's still have a shot at that AL West division title, which would be insane to knock off the defending champs. But nonetheless, the wild card is still looking good. And then just to highlight the win from last night, video circulating around Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, stories, everything. Pretty cool. Angels had a runner on first, 2 outs. The guy takes off to steal second, and Cal comes up firing out of his stance and guns the guy at second for the final out of the game. M's won 3-2 to put themselves, like I just said, one game back from the Astros. So that was a big win. That was also a series win against the Angels, which was really nice to have at home before we start a difficult series against the Dodgers at home in Seattle. So hopefully the stands are packed this weekend at T-Mobile Park. I mean, it's going to be really hard to beat just the setting overall. A Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, weekend series at T-Mobile Park, September in the Seattle area is, I mean, it's pretty hard to beat. It's supposed to be 75, 77 degrees this weekend. So hopefully those stands are packed and we can get some momentum behind the M's going into this series against the Dodgers. So here we go, looking at the first tweet, the first headline that I'm looking at. It is about our faithful reliever, Matt Brash. So he last night, I mean, he's just been on fire. So I came across this tweet. Matt Brash with 99.8 miles per hour for his 100th strikeout of the year. Just insane. I mean, for this guy to come in usually in the eighth inning, pretty crucial. And I mean, he'll go three up, three down, no problem. So with that 100th strikeout, he joined Mariners history, Mariners relievers, really a great cast of characters. Bill Caudill from the 1982 team, JJ Putz from the 2006 team, which Duncan and I have talked about different Mariners over time, different players. I had him on a lunchbox. Never forget that one on the 2006 team. And then quite a gap, but more to our modern Mariners, Edwin Diaz in 2018, and then long live Paul Sewald from the 21 team. The only Mariners relievers to reach the century mark in strikeouts in a single season. So that's huge for Brash. He's definitely established himself, especially after Sewald's departure in this trade deadline for the 2023 season. So that's huge. Big time tip your cap to Matt Brash, because he comes in and he really closes out some games. So that's huge. Another one is from friend of the program, Clayton and Mitch, on their Trident True Twitter, now X exclusive. If you haven't given them a follow, it's at Trident True with two E's at the end. And these guys just bring the content, bring the tweets, bring the humor, the interaction, and have really fostered a great community. We're actually going to get a word from Clayton to include in here. So be ready for that. But this is a little intro for them, just one of their recent tweets. And then you'll hear a current state of the Mariners from Clayton that he did specially for this episode as of the middle of September.
What's up, guys? This is Clay from Trident True giving you an update on the Mariners. And so the Mariners have 15 games to go. We are right on the cusp of the AL West, and we are in a pennant race. Really, for the first time in, I would say, about 13 years, 14 years, we've had a good division for a long, long time. The Astros have reigned supreme for about 7 years. While their, I wouldn't call it a dynasty, but while their teams have gone on to win multiple World Series and just have utterly destroyed the AL West. This is also in a time period where we've had teams like the Rangers and the A's who have gone on multiple stretches in the Billy Bean era of sorts. And so, you know, excited for the Mariners to be a part of the pennant race. 15 games to go. We're trending not so great, though. And the Mariners have to pick it up in a big way going forward. Ironically enough, the pitching has just not been as good as, previous months. August was an awesome month for our pitching staff. June and July were really where we peaked as a rotation. And so I'm really looking for the rotation to get back into the swing of things. We're scoring the amount of runs we need to score. We just have to hold teams to five or less runs. That's just the bottom line. We are just giving up far too many runs, especially George Kirby. He's really surprised me. I wouldn't say he's pitching bad. He's making good pitches. He even said himself this week, he's making good pitches, but people are making better swings. So looking for him to make a turnaround here in the next 3 weeks, or really 2 weeks, and his three starts. And so if you are a Mariners fan looking for some reprieve, I will guess that George Kirby in the next three starts will throw some of his best games down the stretch. We also have Kelnick back, which is awesome. He had a multi-hit night against the Dodgers, which is great to see him back in the lineup, healthy. Julio is still on a tear. Of course, he started the weekend series off with a multi-hit game as well. He's creeping up to that 300 average. And so, you know, we have players, we have dudes, you know, that we really haven't had in the past. So, you know, there is a chance that the Mariners make a run at this pennant and secure at least a wild card spot. We have 10 games against Texas coming up here at the end of the month. Those are make or break. You know, Texas could knock us out of the playoffs. We could knock Texas out of the playoffs. It's really hard to say what's going to happen here at the end of the month. But I do know this. The rotation needs to pitch better. We need better outings from our starters. And the back end relievers need to get healthy and get some rest because we have been using them, it's way too much. Matt Brash has appeared in like 1,000 games, it feels like. So, we need some juice going into the playoffs rather than sputtering into the playoffs. And I'd like to see the pen get a little bit of rest while the rotation goes more innings. So that is what to look out for here in the next couple of weeks for the Mariners. Go M's and make sure you're on the watch for the AL West race. Super exciting coming down the stretch here.
But this tweet, he just said, if the Mariners win 90 games for the third straight year, they would do it in completely different ways all three times. And that couldn't be more true, because you think of this year specifically, just with this run that they've been on and the historic August and all the wins, and they turned it all around and everything. Guys departing, guys getting injured, having to overcome that, a young bullpen, everything you can think of. Whereas last year, it was like limping the way. And it was like somehow found a way to grab that spot. And the year before, when we did not make the playoffs, we hit 90 wins and fell short of the playoffs, which was crazy. But that was kind of tough, still like not a totally normal feel of baseball, especially the first return to the big, like the main regular season after the shortened COVID season. But that's in the past. That is, I mean, not even in the rearview mirror because it's so long ago. We're focused on right now. We're only 9 games away with 16 games left. So we're in pretty good shape. I have faith in the guys in the teal that will be on Friday night here. And yeah, I mean, to that point, just crazy doing it in completely different ways to hit that 9 win mark. Quick segue from the Mariners as I find this one. But the Braves are now 6-time back-to-back NL East champs. So watch out for them. I mean, we've experienced that. They are just a good ball club, and I'm glad they're in the National League, not the American League. So we don't have to cross paths with them too much, but they will be a contender and they will be a threat through the entire playoffs. And I could definitely see them in the series this year. So, I mean, to solidify your spot as the division champs already with a couple weeks left of the regular season still, that's huge. So, shout out to the Braves. Just crazy. Back to a little bit more Mariners history. Our guy, Teoscar Hernandez, he went 1-for-4 on Wednesday, which not an awesome stat line, but the part where it does come in where it's super cool, he extended his on-base streak to 28 games, which is the longest current active streak in Major League Baseball and the longest by a Mariner since the 34-game on-base streak that was set by former Mariner Robinson Cano in 2016. So it has been a while since anybody came knocking on that streak, but good for Hernandez. We do need base runners. We need guys in scoring position. And especially at this point in the season, that's huge. That's a factor, and that's going to be the difference in these games if we can be driving guys home or not. But that is huge. So big one by Teoscar. And then, man, got to look at this one with Julio. Man, he's just been on fire. He joined the 30-30 club recently with 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases. And he's one of the youngest to ever do it, which is just wild. So, man, I'm looking for one in here. Shout out to Jared Kelnick, because he is back. He rehabbed in AAA Tacoma and ready to see what he can bring to the M's for these last couple weeks of the season. He got brought back up kind of in the same timing last year too. So to see him, just what he was capable of, what he brought that series in Toronto last year was just crazy. So glad to have Kelnick back. We did have we bridged the gap well, and we had some guys that really did a good job during Kelnick's absence. This was actually from one of the blogs that I subscribe to every week, and it kind of recapped that. But it is crunch time, and this is really what it comes down to. So here we go. I was just looking at the part for Kelnick here and his absence, and there's a lot of good stuff in here that I just wanted to grab some of these headlines. So this part covering for Kelnick. So prior to breaking his foot when he was frustrated, and that time he came in, kicked the water cooler. Not a great look. I think it was on the road too. So, you know, that's a long trip home to, and then not be on the team from July 19th on. But before that, he had produced an 805 OPS, which is on base plus slugging percentage. Just while he was playing the left field position. So during that time, we had a couple of replacements that came in to fill that left field, that outfield void. So we had Cade Marlowe, who came up from AAA Tacoma, who I got to watch him multiple times last year on the Rainiers. The guy's good. The guy is fast. And that was one of the missing pieces that we were going to need during this stretch. And he made some pretty significant contributions in August. And then Dominic Canzone, who we got from the Diamondbacks, those guys. And then also Dylan Moore, who's like kind of like Haggerty, just could play anywhere, second base, outfield, DH. So between Moore, Marlowe, and Canzone, they definitely, I mean, they carried the team and they said, hey, whatever it takes, let's go, let's do it. So just in that, looks like it was a 55 game stretch where Kelnick, had his absence compared to 69 games before he got injured. So these three guys, that made up for this replacement time, their combined collective stat line, they had 189 plate appearances, 5 home runs, 8 stolen bases, collectively hit for a .259 average and a .333 on base percentage. So that was huge to make up for what Kelnick brought to the table for the first, I mean, just over half of the season, starting after the All-Star break. So he had, in 69 games, had 269 plate appearances, had 8 home runs, 11 stolen bases, a .273 average, so slightly better, and almost right on par for an on-base percentage with .338. So those guys really bridge the gap when you're missing such a crucial, like really critical part of your lineup in Kelnick. So like I said, really glad to have him back. But hey, it is crunch time. Let's just go through a few things in here that just jump out. And in this race, you can think back to all these things and they're all going to be crucial. Man, speaking of just guys who make a difference, Josh Rojas, who joined the team August 1st, part of that Arizona trade, and has just made a difference. So from the second base position for the Mariners from March to July, whoever was filling the second base position. So previously it was primarily Colton Wong for the M's, and then Moore and whoever else can kind of fill in there. But that stretch before Rojas joined the team, so through the end of July, had a 5.53 OPS, which was the 30th in Major League Baseball as far as ranking goes. Just in these last 2 months since Rojas has taken over that position at second, filling that for the M's, is at 7.34 OPS, which jumps up from 30th to the 15th in Major League Baseball. So that's huge. That's huge. His stat line in 96 plate appearances so far as a Mariner is a 284 batting average, 344 on base percentage, and a 420 slugging percentage, which is huge. With that, he has 3 home runs and 5 stolen bases. And he's just made a difference replacing Colton Wong. And then also, like I said, Dylan Moore, he's right in there. He's made significant contributions, like I said, in the outfield with Kelnick's absence. He gets thrown in at DH sometimes, but also jumping in to relieve Rojas at second base. He goes into those second base OPS numbers that I just talked about. And for more, in 61 plate appearances, he has a 250 batting average, a 419 on base percentage, and 67 slugging with 2 home runs, 2 doubles, and a triple. So the guy's fast. He's lightning out on the base paths. And when he gets there, he's, 250. That's doable. And you can get him on base, get him as a base runner. So that's huge. And those guys bringing up that middle infield with the complement of JP Crawford over at short makes for a pretty mean defense. And we're glad to have those guys in that spot right there. One more that I wanted to grab from this article is bases loaded, so what? And there's this perception that the Mariners leave all these guys in scoring position. They can't do anything, and everybody's frustrated. The M's fans are frustrated. They're like, man, we can't score. Well, let's look at some stats on this and how it compares to the rest of the league, because I think a lot of Mariners fans are going to be pleasantly surprised. So just looking at a few categories where the Mariners are top 5 or better, 5th or better around the league with the bases loaded statistics as a whole. So with the bases loaded, the Mariners have 53 hits. That's first in Major League Baseball. They have 13 doubles with the bases loaded. That's second around the MLB. 3 triples, tied for first. And then with bases loaded, we scored 144 runs. That's third best in Major League Baseball. Like, these are all good things that prove, like, hey, maybe it was like that at one point. Like, wasn't looking so good, guys. Like, got to get better. Well, we've gotten better. We have a 331 average with the bases loaded, which is third. We have a 364 on base percentage, which is second around the league. And, right there, like, that gets guys home. And yeah, lately, maybe we haven't scored when we've needed to, and we've dropped a couple games. But for the most part, to hear those things, those top 5, top 3 stats, and leading a couple of those with the bases loaded, that That's good. That's got to give you some confidence behind this very electric, very exciting team. So just wanted to grab some of those headlines, run through those for our Mariners and a couple others from around the league. I do want to jump outside the diamond because it is football season. There's a lot going on, and football is just second, just barely comes in second for us over at CTL. So for anybody who watched the week one Monday night football game on 9/11, beautiful ceremony in honor, remembering all those who served, who gave their lives, who lost loved ones, never forget. It was really cool with two New York teams, Buffalo Bills, New York Jets. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, his first time out of the tunnel on the field, running with as big of an American flag as he could without it dragging on the ground at all. That was super cool. The part that was not super cool was when the game started, the Jets' first drive, Aaron Rodgers goes down with a torn Achilles only 4 games into the first drive of him wearing number 8 in that Jets uniform. So that was very unfortunate. It was announced, I think, by the end of that night, if not for sure on Tuesday, that he will be out for the rest of the season and Zach Wilson will get the reins back, which is just crazy. All the speculation is Rodgers done his final year, blah, blah, blah. Just wild. And sad. You know, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But man, that's a big one. Got to talk about our own Seahawks. Tough one at home. I went 2 years ago to the home opener. And we lost that one. And we had a home opener this week for the season opener. Lost that one to the Rams. And it was ugly. 30-13. That's not the Seahawks team that everybody expected, especially after a 5-11 Rams team last year. So that team coming out of LA, they were ready. They had something to prove, had a healthy Matt Stafford, which don't count that guy out. I mean, people thought, okay, he's going to come into LA, win a Super Bowl right off, especially after he got hurt last year and he was hurt bad. He came in and got the job done, which was, maybe due to a lackluster defensive operation from the Hawks. I don't know, but we're going to have to figure something out. We're going into a difficult Detroit, a Dan Campbell-led team who, man, he gets them fired up. He coaches a really good football team. So we got to be ready for the flight over to Michigan, and we got to do something with it. We got to show them what we're capable of. Come on, Geno. Like, you got the guys, you got some weapons, receivers, Lockett, Metcalf, and Jigma Smith. Got to use our guys. I mean, that is a good core. While everybody's healthy, while we have a running game that we can use, you know, let's use it. Let's get the guys out here. Let's pound the pavement. Let's stay healthy, and we got to find the end zone. Man, I don't know where it was. I don't know what was up. But also looking at the college football landscape, Colorado right now is making the news as if they are Oliver Anthony. They're all over. They're going in, taking names. They beat TCU as underdogs, ranked TCU, who former runners-up in the national championship game last year. Then they went in as huge underdogs into Nebraska last weekend and took their names. So this week they're keeping it in-house, in-state. It's Colorado Boulder versus Colorado State, who's a Mountain West Conference team that Boise State plays. The over on that one is 61, and I would say that's hard-pressed if they don't fly past that. I think that's going to be a great matchup. Deion Sanders has come in, flipped the program on its head from a 1-11 season last year to what they're doing now. So it's huge. It's just exciting for college football with everything changing. Hey, at some point, it's still the game of football. It's still a college football Saturday. You wake up, you get to watch these games, and anything can happen. You know, like some small school might go and beat an LSU or a Georgia or an Alabama. Like Alabama's already not off to a hot start. And, you know, sorry to say, some people are saying end of the Saban legacy era. Who knows? I don't know enough to say that yet. We'll see how this season goes. But the thing that you got to love, no matter what team you go for, no matter who you're a fan of, is anything can happen in college football. So turn it on Saturday, see what happens. As a somewhat disappointed Boise State fan who we lost a last second or last 3 seconds, lost by a field goal in literally as the final seconds counted down on the blue at home, which it was just about a packed house. And I thought we had it. Yeah, I mean, pretty low scoring. Final was 16-14 or 15-13. And man, just couldn't hold on to that one. But we do have North Dakota State. I just said anything can happen, but this should be a get right game. It's our second week in a row at home. I think we have a bye week coming up too, which Boise State always gets that weird early bye week for some reason. But North Dakota State, small school, out of conference. I mean, these guys need these Broncos, this blue collar football branded team. We need a serious barn burner. Go put 50 up on them this weekend. You know, make those fans excited for this nice, it's actually a morning, a 10 a.m. Mountain Time start on Saturday. So that's a fun one to watch for. But tune in to these last 2 weeks of these baseball games. College football is exciting. NFL, crazy. I'm sure everybody's fantasy team, people are already injured and, you know, best of luck out there. But thanks for joining me on this episode 168. We'll be back in action soon with both of us at the helm. We just don't want to miss bringing you guys content, bringing you updates. And hey, thanks everybody. As always, let's climb the ladder.